You are now listening to Conversations with Congressman King. Discussion on issues that impact your life with your representative from Iowa's 5th District.
Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King. This is Steve King, and this week again we bring you another great guest, and I'm really proud to have on board the show State Senator Paul McKinley. Paul McKinley is an individual whom I've served with in the Iowa Senate, someone who has the best perspective on education of anyone I know in the state of Iowa, and an individual who has brought a level of background, responsibility, and maturity to each policy piece that's come before him. And Paul sits on the Commerce Committee, Economic Growth Committee, Ways and Means, the Tax Writing Committee, Education Appropriations Committee, and is co-chairman of the Iowa Senate Education Committee. My colleague, my go-to guy when it comes to education in the state of Iowa, Paul McKinley.
Well, thank you very much, Congressman King. It's good to be with you again and to hear your voice.
It's nice to be on the radio with you right now, Paul. And I know we've put a lot of hours in together planning good things for the state of Iowa, and you especially have taken a real lead when it comes to education. And now the budget in the state of Iowa, if I am correct, has gone to 61% of the state budget is spent on education. That demonstrates the commitment of everyone in the state legislature to education, especially K through 12, but also our institutions of higher learning. And can you tell us first what brought your interest and your focus on education? This has been a central issue in your public policy life. Something must have moved you to get involved.
I was never involved in politics before I ran for the Senate in 2000, and what propelled me to do that was economic development and education, those two issues being inextricably intertwined. And as an employer, I recognized the need for employees with good, sound skills, and I thought that we had a lot of work to do. Additionally, as a parent of two young children, I followed their education, and I recognized how important improving student achievement was to the state of Iowa. So that's pretty much what got me started on the path of politics.
Well, and Paul, I'm familiar with your work product, your children, and the job that they've done with their education and your commitment, as well as Tricia's commitment to educating your children and conveying those same thoughts across the policy for the education in Iowa. But you also are so conversant in the terminology and in many of the studies that have been produced with education. And for a person who comes out of the business field and in there debating educational issues with education professionals, I've not seen you take a back seat to any of the studies that they want to lay out on the table to support their case.
Well, just as in business, we have to look at the results of our efforts, and I think that educators are unaccustomed to that, and I believe as both an employer, a parent, a community member, and a legislator, I'm in a position to help them see what kind of a product, that being an educated citizen, what kind of skills those people need, and I've tried to help in every way I can to further that goal.
It's such a foundational issue from an economic and a social perspective, too. And, Paul, if you could, say, wave the magic wand and lay out an improvement in education in Iowa, and I know that it's a frustrating issue to work with because you have always two sides to every question, and there's a limit to the resources that we have to work with. But, Senator McKinley, if you could wave the magic wand, what would you do to improve education in the state of Iowa?
Well, I think first I would like to say it is absolutely critical that we improve education. The students that we have in Iowa are no longer competing with graduates from Minnesota, Illinois, or Ohio. They're competing with kids in India, Russia, and China. So it's absolutely critically important that we recognize our students are competing on a global marketplace. If I could wave a magic wand, I think the single most important thing that we need to do in education is to assure that we teach every child how to read. We have an alarming number of kids that reach middle school unable to read. I have personally worked with numerous kids in high school that read at a first and second grade level. We can no longer continue to pass these kids up social promotion without them having the necessary skills to do the work at the higher level. So I would wave a wand and say every child will learn to read by the end of first grade.
You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and this is Steve King here with State Senator Paul McKinley, the co-chair of the Iowa Senate Education Committee. and we're talking about education issues, and it is important. And simply, it's simply put, a student who can read, and especially one who can read, comprehend, and think critically, can learn anything that they set their mind to learn. That they can follow their interests to the ends of the information trail. That's the foundation behind that philosophy. Are there schools that get this right, and what are the best models that you know?
Well, there are schools that get it right. As a matter of fact, people like to equate the inability to read with lack of money, and I believe there is absolutely no correlation between amount of money spent per child and the ability of that child to read. I had a factory in the little town of Seymour, Iowa, certainly an impoverished town by most standards. The free and reduced lunch count would be extremely high there, and yet they could teach 100% of their kids to read because they used the right methods. They taught kids how to read by phonics. The English language is construed in such a method that if you can learn 44 basic rules, you can read any of the 500,000 words in the English language. But yet we still have classes where they teach them as you would teach Chinese. You remember the shape of the word. Well, it would be much easier to learn 44 rules than it is to memorize 500,000 words. So it is the method. It's teaching kids through direct instruction phonics.
I would expect, Paul, that you and I learned to learn to read phonetically. And that transition's taken place over the last 35 or 40 years or so in education. But what has started the trend to read? And I don't actually know the terminology by looking at whole words and looking at shapes and reading that way. I mean, I know to do that now, and once in a while I catch myself misreading something because I anticipate a word and it's not the one that I expected, and I will misinterpret the thing that I'm reading.
You know, it's been a long history of and a philosophy of how people learn to read. Some folks think they learn to read like they learn a language. It just sort of happens. That's not true. 80% of kids will learn to read regardless of the method you use to teach. But we've got to get those additional kids. We can teach 100% if we teach them properly. The battle we used to call it the reading wars. I've been engaged in it for 20 years now. And the science is conclusive, and the research out of the United States Department of Education is conclusive. We know how to teach kids to read. We have the tools, the methods. It's just not being used everywhere like it should be.
Well, then, Paul McKinley, since we have people that are in the education business in all of these schools, and if the studies are out there and if they're conclusive, what's the resistance to taking up teaching reading by phonics?
A study was released in May by the National Council of Teacher Quality that looked at the teachers' colleges, how we actually teach teachers to teach kids to read. And they did a survey of all these teacher colleges, and three of those colleges were in Iowa. Two of them were the largest graduators of teachers in the state. One received an F, the other received a zero. It's happening at the education college level, and the colleges are not teaching teachers how to properly teach kids to read using scientifically proven methods.
I'm still mystified by why it would be so difficult to understand that you were not teaching the right methodology when the information is out there and the studies are replete. Isn't it in their best interest to produce the best teachers possible and get them into the school so they have the best students possible? Doesn't that come back and pay off in the university level many ways, including the students that arrive there with an ability to read?
One would absolutely think, but if you look at the typical university now, there is an alarming number of incoming freshmen, as high as 32% to 40%, that have to have remediation in reading and math just to be able to do college-level work. So the message isn't getting through. If we had 4 hours to sit down and discuss this and dissect it, we could go through a lot of the philosophy. And it is a philosophy that is different than that of a teacher being in charge of a class and learning to drill the skill. It's hard work, but kids learn. They love learning through repetition and memorization.
Once they master phonics and master reading, then they can continue to love to learn any subject that they're interested in.
Absolutely. Reading is an acquisition skill without which you can't progress. If you can't read, you can't learn.
You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and we're here with State Senator Paul McKinley, chairman of the Senate, the Iowa Senate, chairman of the Education Committee. And I want to ask you a question about my personal interest, Paul, and it's something that I have brought this theory to bear to some degree, and that is we have our ITED tests and our basic skills tests, and the records on those go back into the 50s at least somewhere. And most of those records still exist most of them now in a database at the University of Iowa, as I understand. Dr. Frisbee used to be the administrator of that. And I think you know where I'm going with this, but since we have had to publish it'll be the proficiency ratings of our Iowa schools, the 370 or so public school systems that we have, there, those proficiency ratings can be looked at to determine where a school district sits within that whole list of 370 or so districts. Would not it be possible to go to that database, identify the most successful school districts in the state, say the top 10 schools, maybe the bottom 10 schools, and go see if there's a consistent, constant theme on methodology at our most successful schools, maybe identify the failed methodology in our least successful schools, and transfer the methodology from the best to the worst and bring the bottom up? Would that be a possibility?
Well, it certainly would, and one would think you would be doing that. Unfortunately, we do not have an accountability system that rewards success or punishes failure in the education system, and so there's neither a carrot nor a stick to compel people to do this, and that's accountability is part of the big issue that we have. Most parents think that their local school is doing a great job, and they think that right up to the point where their son or daughter goes to college and they find out they can't perform at a college level.
Do you think that information that's in that database would be available to someone, a regular citizen in Iowa, who'd be interested in crunching the database to identify our best schools?
It's been very difficult to get that database. However, there is a group out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa Live, I believe it's called, which has taken in a very tortured way the information in little bits and pieces and put together a ranking of the various school districts using what data is available. It isn't perfect, but it's the best we have that I've seen as far as showing how schools perform relative to each other.
Perhaps we could ask our candidates for governor if they'd be interested in making sure that that information is released to the public so that there could be an objective analysis take place of our school districts. Because it's one thing to evaluate where they rank on that order of 1 to 370, however many, and it's another to go in and identify the methodology, because it's personnel, it's methodology, and it also would be the crop of students that come in. But I agree, and I think you'll agree with me, that there is no such thing as students that demographically can't learn. They can all learn, and that's what we're committed to.
Absolutely. There is no reason that there is any student who can't learn to read. Absolutely no reason.
And Senator McKinley, in 1 minute, can you tell me your position on No Child Left Behind and what your recommendation is to this Congress on how to deal with that?
I believe that No Child Left Behind has made a dynamic change in the way we approach education. While I think there are some problems associated with it, I think it gets a bad rap. And oftentimes, teachers and educators like to blame No Child Left Behind for additional paperwork. No Child Left Behind did not cause any additional paperwork. It's state law that did that. So I think from the standpoint of beginning to hold schools accountable to teach children to read, to do math, and soon to do science, and then publishing that information for the public is a very positive thing.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I'd point out another issue with No Child Left Behind, and that is no school is compelled to take the money that comes from the federal government, that comes from No Child Left Behind. I looked at it from the perspective that I believe that Iowa didn't need it, that it didn't help us, but there were states like Mississippi and Arkansas that definitely need to have some kind of incentive from the federal government. And we provided that here from Washington. But I appreciate your input here today, Senator Paul McKinley, the chairman of the Senate Education Committee. Appreciate the work you've done for Iowans, Paul, and the time we've spent together working on the same cause.
And thank you for all you do for the state of Iowa.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Please join us next time on Conversations with Congressman King. For more information on any of the topics mentioned today, visit the website at house.gov/Steve King.